May God bless our meditation on His Word for us as we continue through this summer season and we continue to seek to grow in faith as the Lord leads us through His Spirit. I bet you have said it before. You walk out of the room with your children or grandchildren happily drawing with markers, only to return to find that they have decided to draw a mural on your dining room wall. And what do you say then? You've got some explaining to do. You find the credit card bill, and it appears that your wife is single-handedly supporting the entire Amazon corporation. And what do you say then? You've got some explaining to do. Your husband runs to the home improvement store on the weekend to pick up a few things for the yard, but he returns with enough power tools to build a small country. And what do you say then? You've got some explaining to do. I bet that you have said that before, and if you have, well, you're not alone. For someone in the Bible essentially said the same thing. His name was Job. You likely know Job's story. The devil did all that he could to make Job's life miserable, and Satan did a pretty good job of doing just that. He led Job to lose his great wealth. He led Job to lose his family. He led Job to lose his own health as well. And God allowed it all to happen. That's a tough sentence to hear, isn't it? It's a tough one to share, too. And yet, it has to be true, doesn't it? For the Bible tells us that God is all-powerful. And we believe that, which means that nothing can be outside of His control. And so if something happens, it means that God has allowed it to. Now let's be clear that that doesn't mean that those things that happen are all good. They aren't. And it certainly doesn't mean that it comes from God either, but likely from our sinful and our broken world, or like in Job's case, even from the devil himself. And yet it's still true that God allows all of these terrible things to happen to Job, because Job believed that that was true too. After experiencing all this loss, Job cries out with a demand for God. Do you know what it is? It's the phrase that you've likely said before. God, you've got some explaining to do. Job cries out to God for answers. In fact, he demands it. And at first, all he gets back is silence. In fact, for the next 35 chapters of Job, Job doesn't hear anything back from God at all. Job sits in his sadness and in his suffering and in his loss, and all he gets back from God is crickets. You know, it's one thing to demand an explanation from your kids, from your spouse, or even from your dog who just ate your newspaper, chewed on the furniture, and forgot the very definition of housebroken all in the same afternoon. But it's something altogether different, isn't it? To demand an explanation from God. And yet that's what Job does. And isn't that what we often do too? We suffer loss and we demand that God explain to us why it happened. We get sick, and we demand that God explain to us why it happened. Our world gets turned upside down in disappointment and heartbreak, and we demand that God explain to us why that happened too. And yet often we don't get the answers or the explanations we want, do we? In fact, I'd be willing to bet that most of the time we don't even begin to get the explanations that we think we deserve. Perhaps we know then, even if just a little, how Job felt. Perhaps we can understand then, even if just a little, why Job gave God his demand. Perhaps we would have done it too. Perhaps we have done it ourselves. Have you said it before? God, you've got some explaining to do. Well, after three chapters of terrible things happening, and then 35 chapters of demanding explanations and not getting what he wanted, in chapter 38, Job's story takes a significant turn, for finally, God speaks. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. And notice exactly what the Bible tells us there. We know that Job has been in a storm, and now God speaks to Job in a storm too. And God isn't above the storm, he's not below the storm or outside the storm, but God is in the storm with Job. Isn't God right there with you in the storms of your life too? Even when it seems like everything is falling apart, even when all is not well, even when life doesn't just give you lemons, but pelts you with lemon-sized hail, even in that storm, where is God? Right there with you. So does God proceed then to give Job the explanation that he wants? No. Does God answer all of Job's questions? Not at all. Instead, God has a few questions of his own. We heard the first 11 verses of God's response in our Old Testament reading that Jacob read for us this morning, but God's response continues on for three whole chapters. Question after question, questions that sound like this: who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? And this: where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? And this: have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place? And before God is done, he has asked Job 70 questions in all. What are these questions meant to show? That God is not only in the storm with Job, but that God is in control of the storm too. Chapter 38, God's questions show us that he is in control of the universe. In chapter 39, God's questions show us that he is in control of all animals. In chapter 40, God's questions show us that he is in control over the mighty monsters of the deep and even the power of the devil himself. You see, God doesn't come to Job with explanation, but revelation. He reveals himself to Job to remind Job who is in control. Have you ever been flying on a plane and been not particularly happy with your trip? Perhaps the flight seemed to be taking forever. Perhaps the turbulence was a bit much. Perhaps you can't understand why the fastened seatbelt light just never seemed to go off. Imagine you're in that situation and you are fed up and frustrated with the whole thing. So what do? You get up out of your seat. You march to the front of the plane. You start banging on the cabin door, wanting to speak to the pilot. And then when the door opens, you open your mouth and you say this: you've got some explaining to do. What do you think would happen then? Would the pilot invite you in to try your hand behind the wheel? Would he jot down your requests and promise a full explanation at a later date? Or would he, best case scenario for you, would he tell you to go back, sit down, and buckle up? That one, right? And isn't that what God is doing with Job here too? Do you think you can fly this plane, Job? Do you think you can do better than me? Do you think you are me? If not, then sit down and strap in, because I've got this, and I've got you. God doesn't give Job explanation, but he gives him revelation instead. And didn't Jesus do the same for his disciples in the boat in our gospel reading? Jesus is asleep, and a big storm comes up seemingly out of nowhere, and the disciples panic, and they run to Jesus, and they ask him this, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And essentially, they are demanding an explanation from Jesus, but they don't get an explanation. Instead, they get a revelation too, because Jesus reveals a little bit more of who he is, one who has the power over even the wind and the waves. "Why are you so afraid?" Jesus says. "Have you still no faith?" And the message is clear, isn't it? Sit down, buckle up, trust in me, because I've got this, and I've got you. God revealed his presence and power to Job. Jesus revealed his presence and power to his disciples. And our triune God still graciously does the same for you and for me today. It's true, we aren't given all the answers, but God does tell us in his word who he is and what he has done for us. We can't always see or understand God's work in our world, but he promises us that he is with us and that he is always at work for our good. We struggle to hold on tight to his promises. So he comes to us through bread and wine to give to us the true body and blood of his Son for our forgiveness and the strengthening of our faith. Even this morning, we are blessed to receive his gifts to us again. And so I wonder what it is then that is on your heart and mind this morning. What is it that you are going through that you really wish God would just explain to you? Are you sitting in church this morning with your everything is awesome face on the outside? But on the inside, you want to scream, "God, you've got some explaining to do." If not today, I bet you have before. If not today, I bet you will in a day yet to come. And how does God answer us? He assures us that he is right there with us in the middle of the storm. He reminds us that he is in control. And he reveals to us his heart of forgiveness and love for his children, even those like you and me who would sinfully demand explanations from him. We see that in the book of Job. We see that with Jesus in the boat. And we see that at the cross, too. The cross. Talk about a storm. And yet, where is Jesus? Is he above it? Is he beneath it? Is he beside it? No, Jesus was right in the middle of the storm for us. betrayed by one of his own, mocked by the crowds, whipped by the guards, crucified by the people, and forsaken by God himself, even in the midst of the worst storm ever, Jesus stayed on the cross for you, to forgive you of all of your sins. And if Jesus was in that storm, can't you trust that he will be with you through any storm you face now? And even though it looked like everything was seriously out of control at the cross, it wasn't, was it? God was at work even through the cross to bring about good for his people. But don't take my word for it. Hear what Holy Scripture tells us. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. Even when everything looked seriously out of control, God was yet in control. And if he was then, isn't he still in control today? The cabin isn't empty. The steering wheel doesn't need your hands on it. God's got it and us. And what does all of that show us? Well, the cross shows us the depth of God's love for you in Christ. For at the cross, we are assured that God will go to any and all lengths to keep us safe, to keep us secure, and to bring us home through the storm. Because that is true, how should we then respond as Christians? Should we go back to our well-used catchphrase, God, you've got some explaining to do? No. Instead, perhaps we can learn from Job that with God, no explanation is needed. For after three chapters of God's revealing questions to him, after Job now has no more demands. Instead, he just has faith. Faith that leads him to say this to God, I know that you can do all things. Would you say those words to God with me? I know that you can do all things. May we have the same faith to trust and to rest assured that God in Christ is with us through our storms, that he is always and forever in control, and that he can and that he does continue to work all things together for our good in Christ Jesus our Savior. In Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen.